101.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Of Warren McCartney is sponsored by J.S. Johnson, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, the Deposit Insurance Corporation, Kalina Financial Advisors Limited, Wendy's, and the Water and Sewage Department.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney, so good to have you with us. We are not going to have the show I had planned because I left my backpack with all my supporting materials, laptop, glasses, and a report about controlling our own airspace that was composed by our own air traffic controllers at home. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have an open line show. You can call me and talk about whatever issues you want to talk about. Some of you are upset about the size of the cabinet. I, too, think it's too large, but there's nothing we can do about it at this point. Some of you believe that the government is not holding firm to its promises. You kind of hearing Davis give the stiff arm about the VAT and all this other stuff. Some of you are thinking about the FNM's loss still and the leadership battle, and others of you have many other concerns going on because there's a lot of chat to me about them. If you would like, I'll help as much as I can. Other than that, you know, if you just want to unload, that's fine too. The numbers are 323-6232. 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. The text line is 422-4796, 422-4796. You're going to have to bear with me. Again, like I said, I don't have my glasses, so I'll try to enlarge the screen if I can. Before we get into the meat of things, I want to say this. A lot of people out there are real tight, right? Real tense. And I get it. I, too, sometimes tighten up. You know what I mean? I get, like, kind of real wound up and need to relax and get some stress. Recently, my wife booked me an appointment with a chiropractor, and that's actually been helping a lot. But beyond being physically tight, sometimes you get mentally tight. Sometimes you get mentally into a space that you can't quite get out of. A lot of you are upset about the FNM's loss. A lot of you are upset about things that are going on in your life. But what I'm saying to you today is you need to unwind. You need to, despite the pressure, despite the stress, give thanks, right? I woke up 4 o'clock this morning after going to bed at 11 o'clock, and I did not want to be awake, but I said to myself, you know what, God, thanks for waking me up. Give thanks. I had to, on the way here, drive behind a BTC bucket truck that was going 5 miles an hour that was in front of me and took every corner that I usually take to get to work. But you know what? I got a car. I give thanks. Even though somebody else hit my car on the same side that it was hit before, and the bill from the dealer, which I'm going to get another quote, is $3,000, I'm going to give thanks. A car for a while, but it is what it is. I'm giving thanks. All right? So give thanks for what you got, even if you're all tied up, even if you're mad about the FNM and you lost that contract or you just lost clout or whatever like that. In all things, give thanks. We got a call? Let's do it. 323-6232. 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4316. And 325-4259. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Revolution.
Hi, Juan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. As far as these drivers are concerned, all the chauffeurs that these... to what level does that go? Who all has chauffeurs?
I do believe that the parliamentary secretaries get drivers and cars. They certainly
and
even
all
get
the,
a car.
All the parliament members of parliament, right?
Not every member of parliament, no. If you're a cabinet minister or if you're a parliamentary secretary, you get a driver, as far
right.
as I'm aware.
And why did that start? I mean, apparently before, people drove themselves, and then something happened and everybody started having chauffeurs.
That would have been before my time. They've been having drivers since the 70s.
But don't you think if he has this huge cabinet and he's paying all of these people money, don't you think the first thing they should do is let everybody drive themselves?
I think that all the parlsecs don't need drivers. I don't know that all the cabinet ministers need to drive themselves.
I mean, I could see the prime minister and the deputy prime minister, or, I don't know, maybe a couple more people. But, I mean, I think it's ridiculous if we're so strapped and this country is in such a mess to have a frivolous thing like that, paying out money like that.
I'm going to disagree. I don't think the cabinet ministers should have to drive themselves. I think that that should be one of the perks of office. They're doing the business of the nation.
Okay, well.
And now parliamentary secretary.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, maybe cut some of them out.
Yeah, I wouldn't. You know? I don't think all the parsecs need drivers and cars and all that. They can drive themselves, certainly.
But
cabinet ministers, I don't begrudge them that. They got a lot of business to conduct.
Right. Okay. I just wanted to touch on that.
No, that's fine.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Evolution. Hello, good afternoon.
Oh, good. Glad to talk with you, Juan.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm holding, thank God. But I have a little problem. And I was having this problem from when the FNM were in power. Every time I call the police, I have some problem around here where these guys just be on my walkway selling drugs late in the night. They have their dogs with them and stuff like that. When I tell them about it, they won't case me. Sometimes when I call the police, they can tell me there ain't no car. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, yesterday I called the police again, right? They have other one would come on my porch and poop on my porch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And their dogs poop on my porch. Not only that, and this guy sometimes, he take up the poop from out of their yard with the dog poop.
All right, I got to go, Brayman. I don't want to hear about the dog pooping on your walkway. I don't know what you're talking about. Good afternoon. Welcome to the... I don't mean call me like that, right? Like your trees falling in your yard or your neighbors making a lot of... I don't mean that. That if it's... I mean something that pertains to national business, or if you have a very deep concern about something that you cannot, I don't mean that. That just now. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. All right. Good. It says parliamentary secretaries don't get drivers. Okay. Travis had a driver. Or maybe he was just paying a dude to drive the car. Maybe that was what it was. I wouldn't be shocked if these get drivers. His opening sponsorship announcement should be Water and Sewage Corporation, not department. What? Oh, is she saying Water and Sewage Department? All right, I'll talk to her about that. Says, so why were 52-week workers on Grand Bahama sent home? Is it punishment? These persons received texts on their phones instructing them to go home until further notice. Such instructions came from the office of the prime minister. They send you a text to tell you go home? And you went home? I'm gonna look into it. Grand Bahama, 52-week workers. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
How's it going, Warren?
How's it going, bro?
Fine. The only cabinet I saw didn't ever have a driver.
Mm-hmm.
Adriana, he'll never have a driver. Nighttime, I see him at our camp with two together, but by himself.
Ah, okay. He certainly had one as governor
general. That's the top of mind. Mm-hmm. Comment that that's gonna put at hand. Now, Minnis being on as opposite leader, he will pick the Senate, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what happens when the new leader comes along?
Four seats. Huh?
When minister is on, right?
Uh-huh.
He'll pick his ministers, his the senators.
Right.
So that caused a confusion when the new leader comes on. Suppose he don't want that person, that particular FNM, on the Senate team or his shadow ministers. So he's really creating a problem.
He ain't creating no problem.
Dr. Sands even.
No, he ain't. Listen, he ain't creating no problem. When a new leader of opposition comes, he can ask the Governor General to rescind the other appointments and appoint whoever you choose.
But that would cause infighting again.
I don't know, probably don't need.
And like what he's doing now, he's trying to block Dr. Sands coming in. I mean, on his seat. I would think a couple of members would pick Dr. Sands to lead them, but he would probably mean to stay long, so the voting time is close. Mm-hmm. I would have to wait till next time to get in.
Okay. Firstly, Minnis said he's not going to contest in November. We'll see what actually happens. But he said he's not going to contest in November, and Dwayne Sands is free to contest for leadership of the Free National Movement. The Minnis can't lock him out of anything. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello? Yes, hello?
Mr. Padney.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to find out, does nonprofit organization get grants from the government, and how they do?
Do nonprofit organizations get grants from the government, and how do they? What sort of the answer is yes. The next part of the question: what sort of NGO are you talking about?
I is an NGO organization. Mm-hmm. These feed people. Feed the Rasta, mostly the Rasta community,
mm-hmm.
and we just need assistance like that, but we don't really know the doors and the avenues to go through.
Okay, so you need assistance with funding for a feeding program.
Right.
Okay, well, I tell you what. I don't specifically know that, but someone out here listening to us does know that, and I urge them to call me or text me, 422-4796, and you keep listening so we can see if we can get you straight. And if we can't find out during the show, I'm going to find out for you afterward. Feeding program, right?
Thank you.
All right, my brother. Thanks. All right, you can call me at 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. Maybe we can help the gentleman out. We can figure this out together. All right. This says, the drivers exist as a time-saving function and security measure, given the nature of the job, attending functions and interacting with all manner of people. It helps with efficiency. It's only between work hours, and some drivers already work for ministries, though others get people they can feel confident about. It says, parliamentary secretaries do not get drivers. Okay, and that's from someone who would know. But I know Travis had a driver. Nah, he may have just been paying him, right? And the Parsex can get the car, too. But if they don't get drivers, that's fine. No problem. I mean, I'm going to be real with you. Are we going to begrudge a cabinet minister a driver? Like, so the cabinet minister has a function to go to, and he has to find parking, and he has to, like, walk up the street, or he's got to go park at, like, the Point or something and walk to the Tradewinds building. I don't think we should begrudge them that. That's not that great an expense. Now, if you're just looking at it like, well, I don't want y'all to have this, because things are tight and all this. I could see you saying with the Parle Sex, and I'm told they don't get drivers. But with cabinet ministers, I'm not going to begrudge them that. They got things going on. They can use the phone. They can sign documents, look over paperwork while someone else is worried about traffic and getting murdered by these insane people who drive on the roads of New Providence. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Yes. I would like to know, what is the policy with regards to illegal immigrants coming into Inagua?
Mm-hmm.
Do they normally just ship them straight from Inagua back to Haiti, or do they bring them to the capital?
They normally would, if there's a magistrate in Inagua to try them or to hear their plea, they'd ship them straight from Inagua to Haiti. Now, there have been times when they take them from Inagua to Ragged Island, where there's a sub base for the Defense Force, and then immigration will come take them to Haiti. But normally they'll take them from Inagua to Haiti. Sometimes they would bring them to New Providence to have them efficient, to have the magistrate come for a day or two, and then they go straight to, they order them deported, and then they go straight back to Haiti.
Okay, because I would like you to investigate this matter, because I understand that there are over 300 Haitians in Inagua right now,
mm-hmm.
and they are bringing them into the capital.
That's possible. I heard some immigration matters. I'll check on it for you.
Yeah, because with this pandemic going on, it's going to wreak more havoc with the immigration officers and whoever concerned.
Mm-hmm. I understand. So I will see. I'll see about that for you, okay?
Yeah, okay. Thank you so much.
Okay, no problem. By the way, and I'm not up on all the details because I haven't been reading about it. I've only been hearing about it on AP News, really. How do 15,000 Haitian migrants make it from Haiti to the Texas border without anyone stopping them or BHS? Listen, the guy who runs the illegal migrant trafficking network for Haitians, you need to go back to Haiti and help them organize that country because you have a particular set of skills that they could use. I don't understand. You find Haitians in Brazil. How does that happen? Do they go from like Haiti to Venezuela? Because that's a dip. How do you get from Haiti all the way to Texas? Someone explain it to me. What's the route? Do they go to Mexico? What's the nearest western point in Central America? Panama? Whoever's running that show, your country needs you. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. And I saw they were like on horse, riding horses, like herding them like cattle. What is happening? What is going on? This isn't the 19th century. All right. But they say they've sent the vast majority of them back. They say there was only like 200 left out of 15,000. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello. Good afternoon. Are you there?
Good morning, Vaughn. Is that me?
Yes, you're on.
Yeah, Vaughn, how you doing? My regards to your wife and kids.
Thanks much.
I guess you're ready to go to college now.
Ha, not yet.
Listen, a consideration.
Mm-hmm.
The resignation or the stepping down that is slated for November, right?
Mm-hmm.
The leader of the FNM. The question is, will that also leave a by-election in Kalani?
Only if he resigns.
Okay. I just want to throw something at you for consideration.
Mm-hmm.
You have two previous contenders for leadership of the FNM at the moment that are not holding a seat or a Senate post per se. Right? That's Dwayne Sands and Loretta Butler Turner. Dwayne Sands was in the fray. Mrs. Turner, Butler Turner, was not in the fray this last go around. We understand we're speculating that there may be not just a Kalani by-election, but there may be a Long Island by-election, all things being equal. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. If that is the case, then, we know then that the voters of Long Island rejected Mrs. Butler Turner last time on the single account that she was not associated with the FNM. She ran independent.
Right.
Now, what's feasible here? If the House of Turnquest be within the fray, within the leadership race, will they pose him in Long Island? Will they ask him to pose himself in Kalani? Apart from that, would Mrs. Butler then go for it in Kalani so that she can be in the fray of leadership in Parliament? Or will she come back to Long Island?
Okay, I got you.
All being said, and I hope you can expound on what I'm thinking, Long Island is in a serious situation. It's in a predicament. And it gets deeper and deeper and deeper every cycle. One of you feel me.
Okay. I mean, I hear you. I think that I don't think that's going to happen at all. Okay? So unless Dr. Minnis and Adrian Gibson, unless they are declared insane by a court, unless they are declared bankrupt by a court, which certainly ain't going to happen for Dr. Minnis, unless they are under sentence of death by the Supreme Court, unless they do not attend the House for 6 months straight, then you cannot remove them unless they choose to go. Dr. Minnis has made no indication that he plans to not be an MP. And Adrian Gibson has made no indication that he does not plan to be an MP. So the FNM, that's not something the FNM could force them to do. Even if the FNM expels them both, they're still the member of parliament for their constituencies. So I just don't think it's going to happen. But Dwayne Sands' family is from Long Island in your imaginary scenario. So he may have some good connection there in Long Island. If he were to go there, because his dad's from Long Island. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon.
How's it going?
Good morning. I was talking about the Haitian migrant. Mm-hmm. See, a lot of people get confused. Those migrants were living in Brazil and Chile. Do you remember after the earthquake, the 2010 earthquake?
How did they get to Brazil? After the earthquake?
After the earthquake, yeah. Those are people who were invited there, the Brazil government. Yeah, it was a few of them there and Chile. Now, what happened? They heard about the opportunity to the United States. So what happened there, it just like they traveled from Brazil to Bolivia. From there, they got to Colombia. From Colombia, I think they traveled from Colombia to Ecuador, to Panama, until they get there.
Boy, that's a dip.
Yeah, it is a long travel, and it costs a lot of money. If you heard the news, some of them spent at least about $17,000, $10,000. See, a lot of people get confused. Those are not people who are living in Haiti right now. Mm. See, it's hard to travel to Haiti to Texas like that. That's why it's easy to come to the Bahamas or Florida. Mm-hmm. Those are people who are living in Brazil and Chile for a couple of good years.
Mm.
And if you heard, most of those kids speak Spanish.
Yeah, a lot of Haitians speak Spanish. So why why did they leave, though, if they were invited to be there?
I mean, you know, the money over there is nothing in Brazil. You know, it's hard over there now.
The Brazilian economy better than the Haitian economy.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's looking for a better opportunity, you know, so...
Yeah, so they figure America.
Yeah, go to America.
Well, they were better off staying in Brazil because America don't want them.
I mean, yeah.
Why did they think that they could go to other states? What did they think happened?
I mean,
happened?
The same thing. What happened with you remember the caravan? What happened like the people from Honduras?
Right.
And they tried. They
let some of them come because they claimed asylum.
Right.
Oh, well, they were incorrect. But thank you for clarifying that for me. That's a long, long journey. For that many people to take to arrive, like, in the space of, you know, just a couple of weeks of each other. But thank you for helping me with that. All right. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. How's it going?
Great. Thank you. What's on my mind is this country moving forward on some semblance of normalcy. And a part of that is the straw market. I think... the government needs to deal with that situation, because I don't know if those vendors, how they're surviving. And I think if in fact, cruise ships are coming in, and if we have tourists coming in by plane, right?
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a way that they can accommodate the vendors on a rotation system, or you understand?
I mean, I don't see why they can't have the vendors along Woods Rogers Walk.
Yeah, do something. They need to do something, and because I think it's time for them to get, you know, idea about what does that come under fall under anyway?
The Straw Market Authority under Works, I believe.
Under Works.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Mr. says they need to get rid of it and get to it and come up with some sort of a plan.
Right.
Because that's the part I think that is when you have guests come here. That's what they look. That is the world class straw market. Mm-hmm. You know, even if they're on the wharf, that it's beautiful when they're lined off on that wharf. You know, they have to do something to accommodate those persons, and I would hope that is in fact what they're dealing with. But they need to come to the public or reach out to the vendors, and if the vendors are listening, they need to go and push an agitate that they get back to work, even if it's a rotate 2 days week to week, or you know, work on some system where they can, in fact, make... I think it's best to make $100 than not make anything.
I agree. Yeah, totally.
Yes. Thank you, Juan.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I think the straw vendor should be accommodated. You don't necessarily have to go in the straw market. But you could go along the wharf, and when the ships come in, they could, like, browse. It says, bro, you have it all wrong. Those Haitians were living in South America for 10 to 15 years. I mean, it's not that I have it wrong. I'm asking you how it works. So, I mean, don't start off saying I'm wrong. They certainly didn't legally travel all the way up to the border of Texas because they've been deported. But I asked for understanding on this because I haven't been reading up on it. Those Haitians were living in South America for 10 to 15 years. Many of them, it's like over 400,000 who they legit with passports and stuff from Brazil, and they just move on up through. They just started their trip from June, and most of them went to Brazil during the World Cup to help build a stadium and work. All right. Well, thanks for helping me. Says many of those Haitians were found dead in the bushes along the route. My Haitian, Esso, has a nephew who went to Brazil to attend college. He now works in the medical field. Haitians are all over the world in colleges and holding down jobs. Okay. One, the Texans weren't whipping anybody. They used long reins to rein a horse. One rider twirled his rein close to an illegal. And, of course, CBS and the NAACP, Reverend Al Sharpton, cried, oh, they're whipping black people. It looked like they was whipping black people, my brother. Maybe a white man on a horse running after black people ain't the look that you want for the Border Patrol. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It says, one, cabinet ministers, in my view, should have drivers, given the enormity of the work, considered appointments, late hours at the office, lifting and transporting items from cars to offices. I agree. It says, I understand that the Girl Guides are being allowed to provide for a cost of $10 a laminated vaccination card containing personal information. This is great for documentation and should have been done by the government of the Bahamas. However, the arrangement raises a few critical questions. On whose authority was this allowed to happen? Secondly, is the Girl Guides being allowed to have access to an individual's confidential data? No, I have a laminated vaccination card, not from the Girl Guides, but just from a company that does laminated vaccination cards. And you have to voluntarily give them your vaccination QR code that the Ministry of Health sends you. So they're not having access to any personal data. You're giving them your medical data. And I don't know that they need permission from the government to do it. Good day. There's a huge Haitian community in Aruba. I live there. Wayne Monroe being the national security minister, wondering if he will have the illegal immigrants flogged. I'm sure that was just hyperbole. Juan, keep half the vendors in the market and Hansing. It says the Haitians end up in Mexico via the Latin American route caravan. The Mexican government expel them from Mexico to the U.S. border. The Mexican government expelled them into the U.S.? They got permission to do that? It says those 10,000 Haitians at the U.S.-Mexico border didn't come directly from Haiti. They're Haitians who were living and working in Central and South America for years. They stayed put when Trump was in office, but with the incompetent Biden administration that signaled to illegals the surge at the border once he was in, this is the situation we have. Well, they thought Biden was going to be soft on them. All right, so they don't come from Haiti. Okay, if you're saying I have that wrong, then fine, because I'm just trying to figure out how that many Haitians get from Haiti to the Texas border. Now, if you're saying to me they went from Haiti to Brazil, that's all I'm asking. All right? Now, if you're saying to me that that's not it, they didn't go from Haiti to Brazil illegally, fair enough. But they certainly illegally went to the United States. Good afternoon, Juan. Why did the former government allow the port development to fill in so much of our waters at the Prince George Wharf? Why did the former government allow the port development to fill? So what you think, where are they supposed to build the port? You know, like, most of downtown is reclaimed land, right? Like, that used to be water. So I don't know what the problem is, why they can't fill the wharf in to build the new port. So I guess the answer to your question is because they need to build the new port there. It says, okay, off topic, but what do you think about the Bahamas debris from the sea? Maybe get the treasure from the sea, take 60% for us, then use half of the debt and have to buy Bitcoin in the dips. El Salvador is leading the way. Yeah, I see El Salvador is doing that. We're gonna have to watch that closely. I don't know where the space is in our monetary policy to rely on Bitcoin to uphold our peg. Maybe someone can tell me. All right, this says, years ago after the earthquake, Brazil issued 10,000 visas. 10,000 plus visas to Haitians that gave them land to settle. They migrated to urban centers and discovered they had to compete with the local poor. After the construction for Olympics, there was no work. They went to Chile, then went to Mexico. All right. Well, you guys paid more attention to it than I did. Good afternoon. When do you think they're going to get rid of the travel health visa? I don't know, but I figure that should happen soon, since they did promise to get rid of it. Maybe MPs get drivers and we've abused the system by making MPs parliamentary secretaries. What is the purpose of a parliamentary secretary? Is that position supposed to be a technical appointment? Someone who knows the ministry? Are we shooting ourselves in the foot by placing the MP there than having to hire a whole other worker to do the actual work? Well, a parliamentary secretary, and I actually went through the manual of cabinet and ministry procedure yesterday, and a parliamentary secretary is essentially someone who's there to assist the minister. The minister can delegate duties to the parliamentary secretary. So, for instance, if the minister is unable to meet with a high-ranking official or corporate person, and the minister would rather give of the parliament meet with them than, say, a technical officer in the ministry, you'd send the parsec, and you can find duties for them. But know this, a parliamentary secretary is employed by the government, is a part of the executive, and is bound to support the decisions of the government in public. That's why the issue that many people have with so many members of the executive being in the House of Assembly, 27 of them. Let's take this call and then we'll go to a break. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, good afternoon.
How's it going?
Just caught the part where you were speaking about the parliamentary secretary. That's also a constitutional position.
Parliamentary secretary?
Okay. I can't hear you.
Which part of the Constitution is that?
It's a constitutional position. I think Article 80, and under the executive.
Yeah. I'm not certain that may be the case, if you're saying so. Yeah. I don't have the Constitution in front of me, so that may be the case. I don't know.
Okay, it's 81.
I would imagine that would need to be a constitutional.
The Governor General, acting in accordance with advice of the Prime Minister, may appoint parliamentary secretaries from among the senators and members of the House of Assembly to assist ministers in performance of their duties.
Correct, yes.
So it's a constitutional position.
Yes, okay.
Now, Minister of State, the Constitution just have ministers.
Right.
And parliamentary secretaries and the Prime Minister.
Right.
So I don't know where this concept of Minister of State came from.
Mm. Yeah, I guess you're appointing someone with maybe a smaller portfolio. You call it Minister of State? Yeah. Hello? All right. I guess he's gone. We'll go to a break. This says, yes, I have the Haitian story now. I get it. I understand how the Haitians got there. I thank you for that. You don't have to continue texting me about it. Maybe they're just coming in from earlier. All right, let's go to a break. We'll be back after this.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Summer is heating up, and Burger King Nassau is bringing the flavor. Introducing our all-new take on a classic chicken sandwich, the Barbecue Swiss Crispy King. Our new sandwich is full of smoky and tangy flavor and features our crispy chicken patty with tangy chipotle sauce, onion rings, bacon, Swiss cheese, lettuce, and tomato, plus a smoky barbecue sauce on a soft potato bun. The new Barbecue Swiss Crispy King chicken sandwich with fries and a Pepsi is a summer treat you will love to eat, but only available for a limited time and only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
You invest in your children, your home, and your community. But are you investing in your financial future? At CFAO, we specialize in investment management, retirement planning, mutual funds, and private wealth management. Our team of experts never stops helping you plan for tomorrow. Because tomorrow begins today. Call us at 502-7010 to see what our financial advisors can do for you. CFAO, growing wealth for future generations.
afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name's Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. Open line show. I left all my materials at home, so I can't do much of anything but talk to you. So let's do that. 323-6232. 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4316. And 325-4259. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Revolution. Hello, good afternoon.
Am I on?
Yes, you're on now.
Hi, Juan.
Hi.
I have a soul concern that's been bothering me for a long time, and I just keep promising to try and do something about it, but never could. I never did, but today I want to. And it's about that intersection by the governor's, where the governor lives, on Fitzwilliam.
Mm-hmm.
And where traffic is coming from south going north on Blue Hill Road.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's that little intersection where they have a lot of bush and somebody, a vendor, selling stuff there, which I think is most inappropriate. Their cars are trying to beat the light and they almost run into another person. I just wonder whether something can be done about that, and how would I approach it, and maybe you can help.
I don't know how I could help, but I have heard this concern voiced before. Apparently, he has permission to be there.
But I think that that permission ought to be rescinded in another place, found for him. It just makes no sense.
I completely agree with you.
Because there have been a lot of near misses, and it certainly is not the place that that light could be selling water and whatever else.
No, that's not.
While traffic is trying to get through it.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with you. I don't know how I can fix any of that, but I totally agree with you, and I get where you're coming from. And it's
so
a concern that's been voiced before.
Do you have any idea where I might start with that?
I do not. I'm sorry. I'll try. If someone's listening to me and they know, let me know, and I'll say it on air, but I don't.
Okay? I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
All right. No problem. Hey, Juan, any opinion on the number of armed forces and workers globally quitting their jobs opposing vaccination mandates? I mean, not necessarily. That's, you know, that's your choice, you know what I mean? I think that it's heavy-handed, particularly, you know, given that the vaccines are so new, but they have full FDA approval, and the military and these states are allowed to make that determination as they are with other vaccines, and so it's your choice. So I don't have any very strong opinions on it. I don't really agree with vaccine mandates. But if my job were to tell me that either I get vaccinated or I leave my job, I would get vaccinated. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Revolution. How's it going?
Good. Mr. McCartney, what do you think about this fossil thing that the Prime Minister said he want to build now, and former Prime Minister said it's impossible to build? Do you think if the new prime minister built it, the old prime minister, should he go?
Nothing is impossible as long as you got the money to do it. So I think that Menace is being premature by saying it's an impossibility to build a new hospital.
But wasn't he the same one promising a three-story hospital?
Four-story. And I think, wasn't it four-story? Yeah. They're still going to build that, I'm sure.
So that was only something he was saying just to suit our mind or something?
No, that's something he's doing, but his approach, I understand where he's coming from, you know. His approach is, I'd rather spend about $90 million, although I don't think he can build that for $90 million, what he's talking about. I'd rather spend about $90 million building another tower than several hundred million dollars building a new hospital, because that's how much one will cost. Now,
you mean for this new hospital?
Yes, it's going to cost several hundred million dollars, yes.
But I thought he was talking about the hospital in Freeport.
The Prime Minister is talking about the hospital, PMH,
no,
and...
No, not our Prime Minister. I mean,
Dennis?
No, Dr.
he said... Dr. Menace said it's impossible to build a hospital in Freeport.
Okay.
I'm not clear on what you're asking me.
Okay. Okay, well, have a good day.
But, okay. Is it me? Okay. You may be able to build a new hospital with a public-private partnership. So that could make it possible. However, what that looks like in terms of our form of socialized medicine, not sure. And Menace was talking about the hospital on New Providence. All right? So let's not confuse the issue. Let's work through this now. The Prime Minister said that they're going to build a new tower at Princess Margaret Hospital on New Providence, and that they're going to build another tower, an extension, onto the Rand Memorial Hospital on Grand Bahama. The Davis administration is going to build a new hospital on New Providence and a new hospital on Grand Bahama. When asked about it, the former prime minister said, it's impossible to build a new hospital on New Providence. I disagree with him. It is costly, all right? It is difficult to find the resources, but impossible, I don't think so. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Juan.
Hey.
What's happening, bro?
I'm good.
Wonderful, wonderful. What the former prime minister need to do, he need to get lost, hit the road, Jack, and don't come back no more.
Just disappear.
You understand me? That's what he need to do. Because ain't nobody on his run. And I am because I so BLT on like that either.
Mm-hmm.
He need to get lost.
Just move on. All right. This says, yes, the image of a white man on a horse blocking the Haitians conjures up horrific images we've seen of 300 years ago and is extremely valuable to people like Al Sharpton. But the facts are the Texas Rangers were not whipping anybody. All right. What's Al Sharpton got to do with it? I haven't been paying that close attention. That's why I'm asking you for information. I won. Mrs. Butler Turner announced on Jerome's on the record last night she's not a part of the FNM, so running for leader is out of the question at this time. But as Branville McCartney said last night on the same show, he has learned you never say never in politics. Okay, let's go to the phone lines. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Mama McCartney.
Hey, how's it going?
That's great, man. This is St. Barnabas calling. Congratulations to the MP and to our new minister, Al-Kidas. You know, we've got, that's a great team. You know, even though it's two both sides, we've got a working MP that we may have wanted and didn't want Minutes, but thank God Minutes is gone, and he got but I wouldn't say he should shut up, but go take a backseat, let those young men do their job inside that FNM. Mm-hmm. You know, and Mr. Al-Kidas, thanks for being durable, you know. And well, we didn't work this hard for you this time. Next time, we're going to do what we have to do. While Shannon Dahl will continue to work for us.
All right. Excellent.
Thanks, Juan McCartney.
Thanks a lot. Now, there's a view, I'll be brief, that, and I don't know to the extent that he was able to get things done, but there's a view that Cartwright may be less able to assist the residents there, so because he's no longer at beaches and parks, or he likely will not be for much longer. So that may be a part of the issue moving forward over the next few years. All right. Now, we got to go to a break for news, so let's do that. And then we'll be back on the other side. We got open line show. I can help you with what I can help you with. And that's all I got. All right, stay tuned. We'll be back on the other side.
You invest in your children, your home, and your community. But are you investing in your financial future? At CFAO, we specialize in investment management, retirement planning, mutual funds, and private wealth management. Our team of experts never stops helping you plan for tomorrow. Because tomorrow begins today. Call us at 502-7010 to see what our financial advisors can do for you.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good-for-nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair, you say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior's phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Let me ask you a few questions. What's your name?
Pam.
Favorite food?
Steak.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Is your money safe?
It's under my bed, I guess so.
Are you serious?
Yeah, why?
Unless your money is in a bank or credit union that's a member of the Deposit Insurance Corporation, there's no guarantee it's safe.
Yeah, but what if something happens to the bank?
Your Bahamian dollar deposits are insured up to $50,000, so you'd still be ahead. Plus, your mattress might catch fire. Then what?
Man, those banks and credit unions are looking good right about now.
Visit the DIC's website at www.dic.bs. Protection for your money, guaranteed with DIC.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney, so good to have you with us. I got no glasses, no supplies, no materials to conduct the show in the manner I wish to conduct today, but it's all good. It's Friday. We're here. Let's talk. Okay. The lady who called about the vendor out there on Blue Hill Road, I was told that the best place to start to lodge any sort of inquiry or complaint would be the Department of Inland Revenue, the Business License Unit. And you can inquire there if they indeed are supposed to be there. But last I checked, they had permission to be there because they've often, I've heard them up. I think it's weird too. You're not alone. I think it's unsafe, but clearly someone in authority does not. As far as the 300 migrants on Inagua, I see a picture floating around, and I see some information going on about migrants in Inagua, but until I can verify that with an official, I can't verify it for you. All right, so there's pictures going around of the 300 migrants on Inagua detained by the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. I have no official confirmation of that as yet. All right, 323-6232, 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. There seems to be a general feeling, correct me if I'm wrong, that Hubert Minnis should just not be in public life anymore, that he should go away. Let me know if that's a misconception. I don't know that he's of much more use to the FNM at this point, but in terms of him just going away, if that's what the FNM wants, then that's what the FNM wants. If they want him to be leader, then that's what he's going to be. And, you know, we may want him to go away, but if the FNM doesn't want him to go away, then he's going to be here. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. So we've solved, I think for the most part, the mystery of how the Haitians got to the Texas border. We have not yet confirmed that there are hundreds of migrants on Inagua. I saw the picture. I can't just take screenshots off of Facebook and repeat it as gospel. I can't. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Mr. McCartney. How are you today?
Great.
You know what I noticed? For the 4 years and a half, the prime minister, the former prime minister, Mr. Minnis, he wasn't able to focus and talk to the news media. But how all of a sudden now he wants to talk to the news media? Whenever the news media tried to get to talk with him, he always tried to insult him or he tried to walk away. But how come now all of a sudden he wants to talk to the news media?
Because he's no longer prime minister.
Yeah, but when you were prime minister, the Bahamian people needed to hear from you. He never let the Bahamian people know what he was doing to the country, you know.
He let that go to his head.
It was straight up.
Because when he was leader of opposition before he became prime minister, he'd sit down and interview with you. When he's minister of health, he'd sit down and have an interview with you and talk to you like a reasonable, sensible person.
Yes.
But for some reason, he couldn't keep it together when he was prime minister.
Yes.
And now the spell has been broken.
You think he was too high and mighty?
No, that might be it.
Yes, I think he was too high and mighty, and I think he think the news reporters, he had to report nothing to the news reporters. But in a sense of it, when you are prime minister, you're supposed to let your Bahamian people know what you are doing for the country, what you are borrowing money for, where you're going to spend it, who you are going to spend it on, bring some investors into the country. They didn't do none of those things. None of those things that they did.
They brought investors. Can't say nothing. Can't say they did nothing, though.
No, he didn't. He didn't, Mr. McCartney.
I mean,
I gotta be honest with you. He ain't do much for this. He ain't do much for the Bahamian people.
Okay, you could say that.
Right. Let me question with that now. With the borders, I notice I normally watch United States news. And a lot of the Haitians coming in through Miami. Because from Monday, they were trying to get in. They were even was fighting with some of the United States. So, I say our border lines must be open, if they do get here.
I think those scenes of them fighting were the planes to take them back to Haiti from
right.
the States. Yeah.
Yes, I saw it on from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And a lot of them were stuck underneath that bridge and the border line.
Yes,
and I
saw.
And I went, how the border line got so slack and open?
Yeah, we talked about that earlier in the show. Apparently, many thousands of Haitians were living in Brazil, and the work dried up, and so they made their way north through mm-hmm. Central America, through Latin mm-hmm. America, Central America, and into Mexico, and Mexico let them go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's strange to me, and that's a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
but that's very strange to me that they actually thought that they would be allowed to stay there. I don't understand it.
But much people can tolerate them, Mr. McCartney. Much people can tolerate them, you know. Some of them are good and some again. When you see they're ready, they are out of hand.
But isn't that every nationality? Like, some people are good, some people suck, right? Some Bahamians are good, some Bahamians suck. Some Americans are good, some Americans suck. Some Haitians are good people, some Haitians are not good people. I think that's just humanity, right? Can they drive in Haiti? Like, we can't. Can they? Do they drive? I've been there, but I wasn't there long enough to get a reasonable... When I went with, like, the government. So we got everything just flew open. Because we can drive. I see two names floating around for Speaker of the House. What is your opinion? Are the quality? I'm glad you asked me that. So I don't see two names floating around. I see that Patricia DeVoe is going to be the next Speaker of the House of Assembly. That's what I see. All right. Now, and you were talking about Leslie Bryce being the other name. Here's the thing. I don't know what Patricia DeVoe does for a living. No one has told me. I've asked. I've not gotten an answer yet. Maybe one of you know. You can become Speaker in the House and be totally new to it and do a great job. It just takes a great deal of skill. Normally, you don't want a newly elected member of the House being a member of the House of Assembly. It hasn't worked out great. It certainly didn't work out with Hassan Mutri, who is by far the worst speaker we've ever had in the House of Assembly. And he's an attorney, so he should have known better. But I wouldn't put a brand new person as speaker. However, all that's left are new people. So what choice did he have? He stacked the executive with so many MPs that he only had five people left to choose from, none of whom would have had experience in Parliament before. So it might get rocky, but Obi Wilscombe's leader of government business, so maybe he can help her. In my estimation, you should have made Obi Wilscombe the speaker, but maybe he'll help her, and we'll see how it goes, all right? And I don't want to hear no learning curve and none of this, right? Either you can do the job or you can't. So I'm praying for her that she can do the job, and we hope it all goes well. But it can't keep going like how it gone with Mutri. It ain't gonna work. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Yes, hello. I'm here.
Yeah, I can barely hear you. What?
I don't know how to fix that.
Yeah, fix it for left, man.
Me?
That last caller. You know just what she means. She talking about him in his mind. The immigrants from the south, they really, 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 nobody really could tolerate.
Let me reiterate my position on this. I don't do this xenophobia that you guys drift into so comfortably, okay? I don't look at people and say they're from XYZ and go, they're not good people and nobody can tolerate them. There may be venues that are comfortable with you guys categorizing human beings in that manner, but this isn't one of them, all right? So I don't share your views that the Haitians are problematic because they are Haitian and we are Bahamian. I think we have problems that we need to work out in this country, but I don't do this that you do, because I know lots and lots and lots of people who are of Haitian descent, and they're great people. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Juan, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
All right, not bad. Hey, Juan, quick question. Number one, some people got their roadside contract signed and was paid, and the contract goes until June.
Mm-hmm.
Brave Davis said he's for all the people. So far, I haven't got paid. Some people say they got paid. But my question to you, if this contract is signed, do you think it should be pulled back, reviewed, or do you think you should honor it and continue with the contract?
I think if you're fulfilling your part of the contract, then you should be paid. You should honor it. Absolutely. When okay. were you supposed to be paid? What do you mean you didn't get paid?
Well, my contract said from August to June.
Okay.
What I understand from somebody that said that if at any time the government choose to, they can pull the contract back within a week or two.
Oh, okay.
But all I'm saying to you, Juan, the prime minister said he's for all the Bahamian people.
Mm-hmm.
These contracts are already signed.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be something where roads and parks, I say this boldly on the radio, roads and parks, whoever's in charge, I don't know who's in charge. You know who's in charge, Juan?
Of roads and parks at this time?
They haven't appointed anyone yet, eh?
Well, Alfred Sears is Minister of Works. Is there a Roads and Parks Department or a Parks and Beaches Department?
Parks and Beaches, sorry.
Parks and Beaches. I believe Shannon Don Cartwright would still be in charge over there. I believe. I could be wrong.
He would still be in charge?
He was in charge. I do not know if he's resigned or been asked to resign or what. So I couldn't tell you for certain, but Shannon Don Cartwright was in charge of Parks and Beaches.
Also, an opposition can be in charge of beaches and parks, too.
Anyone can be in charge of beaches and parks, still.
Okay, yeah. I get what you're saying.
Right.
Okay, so I just wanted to know, you know, from your point of view, and then whenever this shakes up, you'll hear from me again.
Okay.
You understand? Hopefully it doesn't shake up, and the prime minister honor his word that he's for all Bahamian people.
Yeah, I think if you gave a contract out in good faith and they're capable of fulfilling the contract, then you should honor the contract, no matter what party you support.
Well, I've cut for 2 months. I haven't gotten paid yet. Some people have, but I'm optimistic to believe that maybe it's because of finances.
You understand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the government didn't really pay vendors on time during the last administration, so it's probably just a matter of the payments delayed. I don't know. But I do hope if you got your contract, then you get and if you're doing the work, then you get the money for it. All right. This says, "Hi, Juan, tell the caller the truth. Trump had the border secured and Biden and COVID terrorists and illegal migrants are pouring in. That's the long and short of it. It was only a matter of time before the Haitians see their opportunity to enter America and expect benefits that American taxpayers are footing the bill for." Well, I can help you. I love America, right? But my passport says Commonwealth of the Bahamas. So I'm going to mind my business. As far as Biden and the border and all this, I was really alarmed at Trump and his inciting an insurrection there, what appeared to be an insurrection. But I'm going to mind my business and let the Americans deal with their business. I was just throwing that out there about the Haitians because we have such deep ties to the Haitians, and I wondered what was going on there. But I'm going to let the Americans handle their business. And I'm going to worry about primarily our business. As far as we're involved in the Americans' business, I'll worry about that. But in terms of their overall state of their overall nation, I'm going to just mind my business here. Sidebar revolution, in terms of the people's time in a new day, when you see international media coverage of the Haitian crisis of dehumanization in Texas, do we say us or them? I don't know what you're talking about. I'm sorry. Okay. This says, Juan, you should ask the caller whether he received his road cleaning contract because of his political support. That's one big slush fund. Those things usually are based on political support, and we should stop it. But, or at least we should equalize it, right? If we're just going to blindly say, these are political contracts, which is inherently wrong, at least equally distribute some. Like, I think I told you the story before. I was at a constituency meeting before. This one I was strictly doing radio and print. And Prime Minister Ingram was there at an F&M constituency meeting. We have certain contracts are coming out for this area for beautification, for XYZ repairs. And he said, the F&Ms will get quite a bit of it. We'll make sure the PLPs get some and, some others will get some. I reported that, and Ingram, I think he told the editor at the time, he was like, if he knew I was there, he may not have said that. So, but at least he was trying to sprinkle it around, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't just all for one side. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. McCartney.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm
a first-time caller.
Thank you for calling.
And I wanted to say, about a few weeks ago, I think someone called your show and they said that Mr. Levi needed another hour or so, and that they kind of don't rate you. I just wanted to let you know that we do rate you, dude.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
And also, I wanted to say that about the caller that was like saying about the Haitians immigrants and, folks kind of like, everywhere, like Haitians are kind of like bad, but no, like you were saying, because you literally made it clear that that's not your thing.
Right.
It's totally like,
Yeah.
I just wanted to kind of say that because I don't feel that way either. Like, we have people everywhere in the world that are like that. So weird.
I agree.
But I just wanted to say that.
Thank you.
Again, enjoy your show.
Thank you. And thank you for calling. Thanks for rating me. Like, again, I know lots of people of Haitian descent, and some of them have problems with each other, right? With each other, because that's just life. That's just humanity, right? Some people are going to get along. Some people won't. I understand there's tension when you have an illegal migration problem, but I don't want that problem to start us devaluing the humanity of other people, because I don't want people to do it to me. I feel that way, because I look at the world like, well, I wouldn't want anyone doing it to me. I wouldn't want anyone going, well, this is a Bahamian. He's not as good as an American, right? And some Bahamians feel that way. They rate Europeans and Americans over their own people. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. I got two quick points.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The gentleman who called about the contract, prime example. I was assigned a contract about 6 months before the PLP left office during the last administration. I went in first and did my first signing. went in the second time to do the official signing where you get the contract, right? Mm-hmm. And during this whole tender, I have never gotten that contract. I went to speak to my project officer. She said they were being told that only the minister could give me this contract. So I went to speak to the director of the department. The director told me the same thing. I have to go speak with Desmond Bannister.
Mm-hmm.
I never got that contract, okay? But the gentleman also said a good quick point. He also said that there's a clause in those roadside contracts that they could be taken away within 2 weeks.
Mm.
But they have to remember, during this period, for the last 4+ years, the majority of the persons that had those contracts were F&Ms.
Mm-hmm. I believe that.
And I'll tell you this, the thing with the Haitians in Texas, I've been following it for quite some time now since it was happening. The United States of America, most of the persons you see them sending back to Haiti is persons who they already interviewed, vetted, took them to court, and if they're not there with their family, if they're a single person, most of those persons were single persons that they sent them back home, but the ones who had family with them and kids with them, depending on how the interview go when they interview them, they allow some of them to stay. You can check it to make to see that it's correct what I'm saying to you, but I heard on the news myself.
Okay. I'd have to check it. I haven't been following that closely. But I'll ask. Maybe you have been following it more closely than I have. If, as you say, they are legal residents of Brazil, why are they being deported to Haiti? Someone said they had passports. So if you got a Brazilian passport, then why would they deport you to Haiti? That's my question out there. Say, so one, getting caught with a lot of money is just as bad as getting caught with drugs or worse. Yeah, if you get caught, I mean, look, you can't have $2.4 million in cash on you walking around and just think that that's going to ride. So they're going to investigate how you got that money. Says Juan, can you tell me how the Haitians got from Haiti to South America and then all the way to Mexico? They go from Haiti to Brazil, apparently, because Brazil invited a lot of them in after the earthquake, so I'm being told. And then they go, and then after the work dried up in Brazil, they went up the northern Central American route to get to Mexico. That's what I'm being told. It says, I've noticed the Guardian talk shows seem to line up with fake news, CSNB. I can't do this with you, man. I can't do this American political news talking point with you. I'm not interested in it. I'm not interested in it. I watch Al Jazeera, all right? I don't like CNN or MSNBC or Fox or whatever else there is because I just want the straight news. So I'm not looking for no particular slant or point of view. I just want reporting. I'll watch BBC America, okay? Like I said, Al Jazeera. I go on different websites to get my world news. I haven't been up to speed. Reuters is nice, although Reuters, you know, a little pro-vaccine there. But I also like many New York Times, all those. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Mr. McCartney.
Hello.
Listen, I would like to talk concerning the gentleman who speaks about, talk about the contract.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I had a contract before from my government, from the PLP government, right?
Gotcha.
Normally, when you get a contract from the government, when a new government is in, your contract will stop for the... Whenever that government got voted out, the contract will stop. They will give you... They give you a date... From last year to June is when your claim is supposed to stop.
Okay.
So as long as that government is lost, you don't have no more contract. The contracts now, if they owe you any monies, I think that the government should, you know, pay it. But if there is monies left there to pay the person, the government should honor them. Now, that's another thing. Those persons who had large contracts and probably they didn't get paid, you have to wait for the government to say whether they would honor it or they would not honor it. But they will have to investigate all those persons who got contracts and who did not get paid. Now, during the time of the F&M, the F&M never gave no PIPs, no contracts. So why should PLPs
give F&M's contract. F&M didn't give no, they said don't give a PLP not a contract. That was came from the prime minister. He said as long as you got contract 2017 underneath the PLP government, you are not to get no contract from them. So why should we only to give them a contract?
We should perhaps develop a meritocracy instead of a cronyocracy, where the most qualified and competent people get the contracts and there's an open process. We can do that through instead of this back and forth, tit for tat. At some point, it may benefit the nation. It says, good afternoon, sir. As a person who offers a service of government, of landscaping to the government, and any other persons, I'm offended when I hear talk show hosts put us all in the category of political seekers. I invested over $80,000 in my business, and if the government is the biggest vendor, I work for all. I did not say that if you are offering a landscaping service to the government that you are some sort of political crony. I did not say that. The gentleman said most of those contracts were awarded to political supporters. Those roadside contracts and landscaping contracts, I agree with that. Now, if you got a contract, you perhaps may have gotten it based on merit, and good for you. But I didn't say because you're offering services to the government, you're a political crony. Far from it. And I'm happy that you can invest in your business. It says, I watch BBC and Al Jazeera. These people got to stop with this contract foolishness. All of us are Bahamians. Everybody have to live, no matter which government in power. Did you ever hear the voice note? Where the lady was talking about, if you want your contract, you better vote for Minnis. I was like, what? And you wonder why where we are. Let's go to the phone lines. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, good day.
How's it going?
Yeah, everything is all right. All I'm saying is I was listening to everybody call in about the contracts. And I was like, this would be a good time for Brady to show that he is for everybody. And honor the best person's contract. Don't worry. The lady who just called in to talk about why PFP should give them because the FNM didn't do. It's like we just fighting against each other.
Right.
And that doesn't show that shows like everybody's children. If you just keep that up,
it doesn't even make sense.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't make any sense. What are we doing here? Are we actually building a country?
Yeah. Sad that she called and said it. Like, she said it right. They could tell that she's a PFP supporter and just feels that way. Oh, we shouldn't give them nothing. It's like, we are our brother's keeper. Why don't you want them to have something? They may need it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Right. It says, Barnaby's going to roads and parks. All right. That may be the case. The dust hasn't settled yet. So I don't know who would be in charge at the moment. I'm not aware that Chandon Cartwright is not in charge. We haven't sorted through all that yet. It says, hi, Juan. I'm just asking out of courtesy based on a recent comment you made in regards to $2.5 million that was confiscated. My question is, by law, can you advise what is the official amount of cash one can carry in their possession? Does it vary between an adult and as a child? Can you please advise? Sure, I'll advise. You, by law, are not supposed to have U.S. currency unless you get it from a bank. If you are found with a large amount of U.S. currency, then by law, you need to explain where you got it from. If you try to go into the U.S., even if you are an American and you have over $10,000, you need to declare it or you are in violation of the law. So you're not supposed to have U.S. currency, and you're damn sure not supposed to have four briefcases stacked with Benjamins, all vacuum sealed, worth two. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Non-U.S. currency? You can have all the non-U.S. currency you want. Now, when you try to put it in the bank, then you're going to have an issue. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon. Pleasant afternoon to you.
How's it going?
Not bad. I'm just tuning in about 5 minutes ago, so I wouldn't miss most of the thing that was said before. But when I heard about the Haitian situation, I am reminded of the Bahamians living all the way in Ethiopia. And when it comes to the warden of contracts, I know of situations, a smart situation, where persons pretend to be of one party to get as it were, the gravy, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've known of a person who got a contract in the... but I know of a person who is definitely F&M who got a contract, who was not in that kind of business. But I know another one who got a contract and even despised Dr. Minute altogether. And I know when I call your show, people thought that I personally against Dr. Minute or one way or the other, you know. But I want people not to judge person based on the input of their conversation on the radio. I work in a company that wears a red shirt and empowers persons so that automatically on the job and after the job, seeing the red shirt that I'm F&M. And then the other way around, I'm a good friend of PLP, and people think I'm PLP. A person sent me a joke, which I thought was disgraceful, depicting Dr. Minutes. And I said, man, at least respect the office. And they got feelings and even blocked me. So we need to get at a higher level, right? But I just want us to be aware that people are very smart, and they pretend to be what they're not sometimes. And some even have been calling your program apologizing for the remarks they made about Dr. Minutes. And people, you know, all talking our prime minister, our new prime minister. And I have always been hopeful that he's a man that can get the job done. So we every situation is based on its own merit, and we need to give credit where credit is due, and also be very fair when it comes to developing a country, so to speak, and not say, well, at one point this person must eat and that person this person must eat because the person sung that way or say this or say that. And we need to, I hope most of us listened to the essentials yesterday evening with the economist of the Caribbean.
Did you listen to that Edward show? That was frightening, I thought.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Chills down my spine. All right, but I appreciate you. This says, Adam Juan, that's why I never got a government contract. I'm neither PLP or F&M. If only I knew, I would have lied. I mean, you have people who are not openly open political supporters getting contracts, but the fact of the matter is, and until we look ourselves in the mirror and tell ourselves some hard truths, we're not going to get any better. The fact of the matter is, a lot of these big contracts are going to the people who support the political parties. That's just the fact of the matter. I could call names. I'm not going to right now, but I could call names. Don't act like it's not a thing. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hi, Juan. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Okay, I just want to call because I listened to a lady call your show a while ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when persons call the radio show, and when they would make statements like, ain't no PLP got no contract from the former government.
Yeah, I don't believe that either.
That's a lie. Mm-hmm. I've seen in my own two eyes. If I could tell you for a fact, that is not so. Now, I don't know if they're talking about the contract that is canceled. Now, stop reviewing. Cancel.
Mm-hmm.
A big contract that they say that the person would not look to receive. But as far as Beach and Park contract, those contracts is for 1 year.
Mm.
And a contract is an agreement. So I know when the former government had left, they had to pay out those contracts. You can't just stop a person contract, cancel a person contract. Without, you understand what I'm saying? Paying them for the remaining life of that contract. Now, those big old contract, what they just get, I don't know if they, as in 1 year or month for month or whatever. Mainly, they the contract where they stop reviewing, cancel. But those Beach and Park cancel, I mean, contract with those side roads and stuff, when it's up, the life of it, for the most part, the government that are in, they probably would not review it or maybe not, you know, honor it no longer. But to say cancel it, that's not so, because you know who these people work for. It takes the F&M to kick Perry Castillo, and it takes the PLP to kick Minnesota. You don't think so?
I don't think the PLP kicked Minnesota out. I think the Bahamian people kicked Minnesota out.
No, you know what I mean, right? Another party. Because a lot of persons who voted for Perry at the time, they were F&M. And I believe that, and I'll always believe that.
Well,
but as far as persons dictating who's who and what is what. At the end of the day, everybody is Bahamian, you know, and I'm not speaking no political, because I don't have no allegiance to no party. I'm just speaking as a Bahamian. And okay. I think that would be very unfair to take those contracts away from those persons before the life of the contract. Now, after that 1 year period, then fine. I don't think they would be looking to receive it any longer.
I hear you. I agree in that if you are performing your end of the bargain, if you're living up to your end of the bargain, then you should get to keep the contract. This is back foolishness. Give people contracts based on merit. Who can best do the job? Period. I'm agreeing with you. Says Taiwan, one of my partner's company pays the government the highest taxes for the treasury, and yet someone in the last administration spitefully sabotaged that business. I know a number of people who were locked out of... See, I can't pretend with you. Yeah, we can take a break. I can do it, right? Y'all could sit and pretend it's one way when it's actually another. I know people who've come to me over and repeatedly, and we didn't even go public because it was so sensitive, right? And they've explained to me how they've been screwed out of contracts because of some perceived political connection, all right? Qualified people, names you would recognize, possibly. Let's take the break.
Advises the public and its customers that the corporation will commence improvement works on Bamboo Boulevard, South Beach East, beginning Friday, September 3rd, 2021, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily for a period of 8 weeks. During this time, there may be some interruption in water supply and traffic flow around the work area. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Juan McCartney, good to have you with us. We're doing an open line, so you can call me. I'll try to assist you as best I can. Someone said to me about migrants apprehended. Yes, I know that migrants were apprehended. I just don't know how many people are at the base on Inagua. I can't say for certain. Bro, when the FNM in power, it's only them. But when they're out of power, we all is Bahamian. The devil is a liar. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. No? Okay. 323-6232. 325-4316. It says, Juan, this is how the world works. When Trump was in power, his people eat. Now Biden people can eat. Because they help him get in power, they must eat first or be rewarded for their service. Yeah, it's unfortunate. Here's an idea, right? And I'm going to take the call in a second. Here's an idea. If we don't want political cronyism to continue, why don't we stop allowing the political parties to be funded by any and everybody, foreign and domestic, without them reporting who their political contributors are? Why do you think that no matter which party has been in power, UBP, PLP, FNM, PLP, why do you think that there's no campaign finance legislation? Why can't we know who gives money to political parties and track those names with those who get contracts after the election? It's because they don't want us to know. They don't want to disclose who their political donors are. You don't know who's giving the government money. You don't know who is giving the Progressive Liberal Party money. You don't know who's giving the FNM money. Only they know, right? So until we start getting serious in this country, we're going to keep going in circles. I think the political parties should get public funding. And there's a mechanism to do that. Not public funding to go have rallies and get drunk, but funding in terms of being able to organize politically. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yeah, good afternoon, McCartney.
How's it going?
Pretty good. Mm. Now, the contracts, what I think we're talking about here, they're in the big boys' ones, the big contributors' ones. I think we're talking about the crumbs, the little roadside thing.
Right.
It is understood. I don't know why people don't say it. Every member of parliament, be it what government, once you win one, you are allotted X amount to give your people weight. I don't know why people try to play like it ain't happening.
Right. Let me say this. If you are, and I can understand some circumstances where you go through a transparent process like a board and everything. If you know someone who's particularly talented and you know they can do a service for you and you say, I want this person to work for me. Yes, they're an FNM, but they can do this job. I don't have a big problem with that if they're qualified. Right. But in terms of most of these contracts and things that should be for the general public, we got to stop doing this open process and then selecting who we want.
It's not. And we know it. So I live in Bayntown, my brother. And the last MB, he wouldn't give me the time of day, much less the conversation.
Wow.
And now that he's gone, I must start on the side and watch the people who was close to him, who was laughing at me for 4 years due to weight. While my party in power, that don't sit well with me.
Mm.
The reason why the gentleman got the contract is because he knew somebody who was in power in the FNF. His prime minister cut 8 months off his contract by calling an early election. So don't penalize me now, who sit on the side for 4 years, because your guy lose. You probably have a new MP. The system is, they got some work for his people. Well, let me close with this quick story.
Mm-hmm.
A young man in Bayndan said to Travis, I vote for the FNF last time. But this time, I can't vote for you, Travis. You know what the man said there? Because I was right there.
Mm-hmm.
He say, well, I can win, but you can't ask me for nothing. So that tells me, buddy, when you go, carry your people. That's how I see it.
I understand, Marif. I understand why you would feel that way, but at some point we should break the cycle, right? At some point we should like fully be transparent about these things. Now, like I'm saying, if you know your boy is like a computer genius, an IT genius, and you need some IT work done, you need a particular project done and needs doing quick, and you want to put forward the contract and it's a reasonable contract and it's got a scope of works and limitations and timelines, and he could fulfill that work. I don't have a problem with that because I understand that things have to get done. But as far as the broader scope of things that could be offered to the parent, this is one, in all fairness to the former government, the e-procurement was a godsend. I'm now bidding on contracts that I never knew were there. Not sure if the fix is still in, but at least I'm getting to bid on them. I hope the PLP don't let this department die a slow death for various nefarious reasons. You know, I keep forgetting to do this. I'm supposed to have the Daniel Ferguson guy on to talk about that. Says Joe Beth got Ministry of Finance. Finance? No. No. Joe Beth is in Housing and Transportation. All we have to do is enforce the e-procurement platform and have the Auditor General review and ensure fairness. This can also end cronyism. So I hear you with the e-procurement platform, right? So then why is the Auditor General asking to know the beneficial owners of millions of dollars in no-bid contracts given out during the pandemic by numerous different ministries if the e-procurement is this magical thing? And the government still was giving out tens of millions of dollars in no-bid. It may be much, much more than that, that we know about. In no-bid contract, because the IMF wants to know, the IDB wants to know what's going on with their money. IMF. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. No? Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Juan,
on. I didn't mean to call back, but I had to call back when you talk about the e-procurement system.
Okay.
I have been registered with the e-procurement system since Christie introduced the system and tell behemoths they must register on the system before they implemented, I think, the you know, what is take care of the system. And from 2016, I get every email that comes out of government department on anything that's out for bid. I have yet to get one contract on the e-procurement system since this governor came to power. And I'm seriously, I was like about the 20th person registered on that system. They need to, I think this government need to go forward with that system because it's more a safe system that just like you say, a person is qualified, they'll have a good chance of getting a contract. Okay, but now remember that e-procurement system is not only includes behemoths, it includes persons from all around the world could bid on the same contract also.
Okay.
Thank you, man.
I gotcha. So you're saying it's just kind of for show. I don't want to live in the Bahamas. Maybe I'm, you know, naive and not hip to how things are or should be. But I want to live in a Bahamas where you don't have to wait 5 years to get a contract from the government if you're qualified to do it, if you're not a particular political party supporter. I know that different political party supporters do get contracts under all administrations, but I think at some point we need to grow up with this. But again, I'm a dreamer. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. I'm fine. How are you?
Yes. We're still in a national state of an emergency, right?
Yes.
Good. We do have a brand new day government, right?
So they tell me.
And pardon?
I said, that's what they're telling me.
Yeah. Well, you know, as long as, I must say this, the new prime minister was not the one who called the state of an emergency. The state of emergency represented something under the old prime minister. Now, it's egregious that the media, the fifth power, the fourth estate, knowing that so many people are waiting to hear what's going to happen because their food, their job, they're still canceled. They're still in a state of an emergency, and the media is silent. You're worrying about who portfolio is and who's getting contracts here. This is like trivial, egregious stuff. And this is what makes me upset with this country and causes me and others want to leave this country because the media falls down. The churches falls down. I mean, those who you vote for falls down. We are clowning.
I see. Good day. I hear you. I don't know what to say to you, man. That you think that who the new government is and who gets with portfolio and all the ramifications that entails, that you think that that's a trivial matter, I am unable to help you with that. We're breaking? All right, let's take a break. We'll be back.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S.C., 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 J.S. Johnson Insurance.
Wendy's, our food is made to make you crave. Crave our all-new Big Bacon Cheddar Burger. This melt-in-your-mouth sandwich is what cheesy bacon dreams are made of. It starts with your choice of fresh, never-frozen beef or a chicken patty topped with American cheese, applewood smoked bacon, bacon jam, onion tanglers, and creamy cheddar cheese spread on an all-toasted cheddar bun. Available for a limited time only. Stop in today for that flavor you crave. Wendy's.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the revolution. We're winding up here. I'm Juan McCartney, so good to have you with us. This has been an interesting discussion. Let's go to the phone line. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
How's it going?
Everything's good, man. I just called because your last caller, he went a little off course, but I understand part of his point. Not in reference to the last part of his conversation, but we have to do realize that there are still a lot of workers furloughed and sitting at home waiting on stuff to happen for them. And no one's addressing the issue. Minutes called the election and left it up in the air. And these people at home with nothing to do, twiddling their thumbs, waiting on $200 a month if they don't go out and hustle something from somewhere to get by. And it needs to be addressed. And it needs to be addressed quickly because we can't go on like this.
I agree.
And so, you know, I that part of the conversation, I think, needs to be addressed.
I agree. Now, here's the thing. How does that get addressed?
Well, definitely it has to be addressed through the government.
Correct.
But it has to be brought to the fore.
So it matters.
I don't agree with his, the last part of his conversation.
Right.
But it, the issue itself still needs to be brought forth.
I agree. Totally. And we won't let it go. All right. We're about out of time here. Read a couple of these real quick. Says these government contract seekers should set their businesses to not only depend on government contracts. Agreed. And most of them don't only depend on government, but still. Some do. Says one, because these big contracts do not go through the e-procurement process. Also, at least with e-procurement, you get to see all bidders and the amount they bid. Hence, you can come challenge the outcome. Also, you can take it to the media, which will expose everything. Says I've been on over 20 jobs on the e-procurement. One time I quoted half the cost for my product. I was the second business on the island to have this product, but never got a bid. This says, that's what I said the other day, Juan. It feels almost like a gang culture of retaliation with politics. They did this to us. We can do it to them. They didn't give us XYZ. We ain't giving them nothing. The FNM borrowed $400 million. Yeah, but the PLP board, blah, blah, blah. And round we go. We need to do better. If we don't, the IMF will assist us in doing better. And next week, I want to talk about that. All right? So I urge you to go to Hubert Edwards' Facebook page and listen to his interview with Marla Ducaron, an economist who has been following the Bahamas closely for years. And hopefully that will help you to understand what we are facing. Actually, Edwards is here. You can maybe ask him about it. All right, that's going to do it for the show today. You guys take care out there. Have a great day, Bahamas.